you hit live knowing I'm talking about that? You want the ratings. That's
of course. Of course. And it's 8. I got to start on time because you guys know I always love being on time.
Yeah, right. Yes, Jason.
You know, the more you know.
All right. It's a play. All right. I'll allow it.
it's still a stupid
story, but whatever.
Wait, buy you a ticket. Play of Christine?
No, Sound of Music.
Oh. Oh,
this is us.
Yeah, this is us. Us right here, all of us. Which we're gonna get into our, can we beat our doppelgangers? We'll talk about that.
Fuck yes.
Yeah, that bitch ain't got shit on me.
Before we get into that, right here is what we're reviewing tonight.
Yes.
Black on Black Love. Go check out the song after the episode by the Queen Latifah. And us, doppelgangers. You guys ready for that shit?
The irony of you naming it Black on Black Love.
Listen, it worked. Does it not work?
It doesn't work at all.
Does it not work?
No. Not for this movie.
There's black love in this movie, Mick. There's lots of black love in this movie.
I don't.
The people are crazy.
I don't know how to answer.
You only pay attention to the white family in that movie, Mick. Did you miss the whole point? Call the police. I mean, fuck the police. Bye.
That was fucking hilarious, by the way. That was fucking hilarious. I loved that part.
This whole movie, I love.
Yes.
It's fantastic. It really is.
But before we get into the movie and what's going on?
Wasn't me.
Oh, I think James having it. He's fixing it though. But
James is clicking.
Doppelgangers, right? Can you beat your own doppelganger? Oh, here he is. Hang on, I'll let him get situated this time.
Let's bring in James's doppelganger for this one.
I think I could take my doppelganger.
Yeah, 100%.
You think you're
100%?
I'm taking 100%. Easily?
Yeah.
No, not easily for me. But
you can't take out your doppelganger, really?
No, I said I can. I'm just saying not easily. Like it's going to be a fight, but
now my question is: are they in the shape that we're in now?
Oh, that's, or are they in better shape? That's a good fucking question. Yeah, don't they? Yes, because they do have the same pains, don't they?
Yeah.
No idea if James knows if we're live or not, but I'm loving every second of this. But I don't know. So they do have the same pains, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they get pregnant at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Kids, yeah.
So they have to be in the same shape.
Yeah.
I don't know, though.
I think
so. Because the doppelganger father seemed way stronger than the regular one.
Well, he seemed more brutish than the regular one, in my
opinion. Yeah.
Not he was so definitely much more stronger.
I don't think he was restraining, like having that preserving himself or someone else, like just having that just pure strength, like not no limit.
Okay.
Yeah, the father seemed timid and more geekish, like, you know. Whereas, like, you know, the doppelganger is like, no. Like he's ready to roll.
Right off the rip, he was ready to go.
Yeah.
Dude, oh my god, the daughter in this.
Yes.
Oh, just let's, where do you want to start, man? Because you can dissect every portion of this movie and it's done so well.
Yeah. Or you can dissect none and just watch it as a general audience member and still absolutely love it. That's why I really like
this. We're a review show.
No. I get that. I'm just saying this is the one I can introduce to just people that just generally just want to watch a movie and they're not sitting there scratching their head like Christopher Nolan type shit.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
So you but can enjoy this movie. Deep dive. We must deep dive. That is why you watch us.
Yeah. Yeah, this. Excuse me. So today was my first time actually getting to watch this like all the way through, because every time I caught it, my wife was already watching it, and she was like more than halfway through it. And I never finished it. I would just sit there for a little bit and then go do something else, because I was like, I got to watch this movie all the way through. I don't want to see how it ends. I don't want to ruin it for myself like that. And holy shit, man. I'm just like, oh my gosh. Like, why did I let so much fucking time pass by? Mick, why did you let me let so much time pass by?
No. I've been preaching Jordan Peele from the beginning. I love Jordan Peele. I'm so glad when he announced he was going to do a horror movie and Get Out, I was excited. I love the guy as a filmmaker. And Us is my favorite of his films. Mm. So I love it as a monster movie. He pays, and this is the one where when you watch Get Out, to me, he is, the subtext is what's is the story there, right? Mm-hmm. He has such a wonderful story written over it, but the subtext, everything he's trying to tell you, all of the racial divide in it. And one, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful movie. That was a statement movie for him. That was the movie that made him and put him out. To me, Nope was a great scary sci-fi movie where it was also more towards a statement. It was, I'm going to talk about, you know, not that Us doesn't have societal themes in it, of course it does, but like there's more of a statement. This, I felt like he was more enjoying himself. This is more, yes, there are societal themes in this, but this is his horror movie. He made a monster movie here and he had a fun time doing it. He pays homage to the Lost Boys in it, in that he films the opening scene in Santa Cruz, which is Santa Carla in the movie. It's the same, I think it's the same year that The Lost Boys takes place. You know, so like it's just like, you know, and all the different things that he's really, you know, doing send ups to, he really played with it here. Like he really did such a wonderful job with making a horror movie, a true, like, beautiful horror movie, in my opinion, here that pays homage to Hitchcock, Carpenter, Craven, Hooper, Kubrick. Like he touches down on almost all the big names in horror in this movie in some way, but in a beautiful way, while keeping true to his vision and his story. So. I'm sorry. I just had to praise this a little bit.
No, go ahead. Yeah, you got more to say. Go. That's what we're here for, to talk about it, is to, you know, get a good discussion about it. I don't understand the hate for Jordan Peele and like movies like this, because it's different. It's original. It's a good story. It has gore in it. It's not overly gore, and I'm a gore whore. I love that shit, but it's not overly gory. But it's gory when it needs to be. Like it needs to be. It's important. It's done. It's like, it's real. There's art to it in this. Not saying that there's not with the gory movies, but it's a different type of art. It's a different type of art. It's more of a mind kind of thing, and it's more beautiful with this one. And I was just like, what in the actual holy? Just sitting here watching this, right? I'm like, again. Sturdy, how the fuck did you not watch? This is one of those.
Yes.
How the fuck did you not watch this shit in theaters? I'll say, fucking, like, I wish I saw this in theaters.
I think I saw it three times opening weekend, because we saw it at the drive-in Friday, then saw it in theaters Saturday and Sunday.
I could see why.
Damn.
This was like one thing that I really love about horror movies that I still can do. And I think, Paul, you asked me about it one time. We were talking about it. And my wife asked me one time, too, is like, can you separate yourself like from as a film, like being, you know, I don't call myself a filmmaker anymore, but like having been a filmmaker, like, can you separate yourself from, and just enjoy a movie?
Oh, me and you had that conversation.
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. And well, it's yeah, you can. I love when I can do it with horror movies because I do like being scared.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If, and it's very hard, but like when you really take the horror seriously and it's done well, I like, you can get me. And if you can really do that in trailers, you stick out to me. And mm-hmm. this is a trailer. I remember the trailer for this movie for us. It was one that like kind of got me a little bit. I was like, wow, that was like a deep cut trailer. That was like really well done. So I want to make mention of that too.
Yeah, this, as a matter of fact, I want to see more of something like this. This right here, I would like to see more of, just obviously not the same exact story, but the very, very similar style, or even if Jordan Peele plays off of this more. Just because I don't know what direction he would go, but I feel like he can go damn near anywhere. I mean, you still have all these freaking doppelgangers all over the place. Shit, the mother.
Mm-hmm. But there's... Yeah. I would go back and listen to some of his interviews of like when he wrote the story, what was he thinking? Like, what was he watching, or what was he, I think Village of the Damned is one he met. I'm pretty sure that was one he had talked about.
Oh, that's a good one.
I think he said Invasion of the Body Snatchers from 78.
That makes sense.
So like if you go back and watch some of his interviews, which is really good to do, like, especially because you're right, like, this is a really good movie, and you're not going to see more made exactly like it. Like, not exactly, but, you know, like,
yeah, I
know what you mean. In the same way, because he's not doing it, and it's not getting sequels, and it's, so, what do you do? So, like, go back and find what influenced it, and, like, even so, I would say, even if those aren't ones he mentioned, those are ones that stand out to me that have those similar vibe to this.
Mm-hmm.
That are really, really well done. That I think can, I think you'd really enjoy. For, you know, that will do the same. Mm. So yeah, Us was just so good, man. Everybody it did was. A great job in it.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So.
What were you saying, Paul? Or was that you that was going?
Oh, I was just gonna say I think his next movie is gonna deal with water, something with the ocean or something like that.
Okay.
Since he's kind of done Earth One, you know, he did, you know, kind of the Kurt Society's climate with Get Out, then he did Earth with Us, and now he's done Nope with the sky. I think the next one is gonna have to do with the ocean.
Ooh.
Hmm.
That's just me just thinking, you know, and I could be 100% wrong, but in my mind, that's what I think he's going
to
do.
He's trying to get all the, all the subgenres of the areas.
Yeah.
Like the elements.
The elements and shit. Yeah.
That's and interesting. He said he's that interesting of a guy.
Yeah, I know. Well, he is. He's cool.
He doesn't drop any hints.
No.
He said nothing to the effect where you might think he's doing water. Mm-mm. And I'm not putting that down. I think that's a great theory because you're right. Like, there's a pattern. Mm-hmm. You can pick out a pattern in his movies. Mm-hmm. I see it a different way. None of it has been said or anything else, but that's it's a Tarantino effect in my opinion. Like, it's a sign of a great filmmaker that you were like, what's next? He's got to have it planned out. Like, there's a connection somehow, you know, and they do that. Like, it's so beautiful. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I love when filmmakers are that methodical.
Mm-hmm. This makes me want to see his other movies. Like, I watched Get Out. I haven't seen it in a few years. So I would like to go back and watch that one. But so that one and Nope. I've never seen Nope, but I feel like I need to see it now because this was just fucking excellent.
I say nope. That's the alien one that it kind of bothered me. I mean, it wasn't horrible, but I was like, the whole movie was just a girl running from an alien. But then she ends up. I don't want to ruin it for you, but anyways.
You should definitely watch Nope. Nope is.
I'm going to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And nope, I would definitely. You know what? Actually,
I'll watch it with you.
I'm going to push you on this, Sturdy. And the reason I'm going to push you is because you literally just said at the beginning of the show, Mick, why did you make me wait so long to watch this? So please don't wait so long to watch Nope. It's that good.
I already have it planned out when I'm going to watch it, Mick.
All right.
We had a discussion earlier.
I just don't want you to review it and say that again because I just told you watch it.
Well, that doesn't mean I won't say it again or I'll just put the blame on somebody else.
That's fair.
Let's just see what's on that episode that night. Oh, this is such an amazing movie. This is like my 10th time seeing it. All right, you're the target.
I did love the opener for this film because I know a lot of times we do talk about just the opening scene. Just a little girl, you know, going through it. Like the tension builds and the cinematography alone, like it's just everything about it is kind of intoxicating. Like you're just sucked in from the very beginning because you're like, what is happening? What is this?
So she was near the mirror and turned around, and the back of her head was still facing. I was like, whoa, what's going on here? I thought the movie was going to be paranormal. As soon as I seen that, I was like, oh shit. She walked into like some haunted building or something, right?
Oh my some God. Demon. It freaks you out right away. And then to play it out, and I don't know, Sturdy, how much you want to get to or towards the reveal or what you're and where you want to go with spoilers.
1,000,000,000% spoiler, so you can spoil whenever you want. If you're on a good topic, just keep it rolling.
We bounce all over the movie. We'll go beginning, middle, beginning.
But I love this beginning where the montage of, like, after that event and she's found on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's going through the therapy and like it's like looks like it takes years and years and years, and then she wakes up and she's an adult, so it seems like okay, she's back to normal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Only to get that goddamn twist, man. Yeah, that's twist.
Such a beautiful twist.
Oh my God, that she was the one she switched out.
And mm-hmm. the other one, the real one talked like that because from her choking her. Right.
Yeah.
Squeezing her throat. Yep.
Yeah.
So can we just say
that just made it even creepier? Like when she
talked. It did. Yeah.
She had to learn how to talk.
Right.
Like, yeah. Fuck,
man, that shit just
fucking crazy.
Fuck.
That right there, though,
and how she accepted it at the end too, where she remembered, mm-hmm. but then she just looked at her son and just went. And just smiled.
Well, can I ask you this? There's like a movie theory that the son may be the doppelganger too. Like in an accident, the one may have gotten burned. The actual son may have gotten burned in a, you know, when he was a baby or something, and she went and switched him out.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
that's not confirmed. I don't know that for sure.
Dude, that'll be crazy
theory. So I want to hear what you guys think.
If that's the case, that real one, that fucking freaky little fucker, making all those clicks and creepier, shit. Man.
But hold on, hang on.
That sister had like a fucking yo. How she stared without blinking and shit. Yo, she was creepy.
Let's like, hang on. Let's stay on the sun theory really quick.
I like that bitch.
I like that. Because if you think about it too, you have, remember the end where he's like, it's a setup. He's walking back. One kid walks into the fire. And then earlier in the movie where he's after, or no, not even too much earlier, the scene where they leave the house, their old friends' houses, when the mother goes back in to get the keys. He hears her make that noise or whatever, and he like pauses for a minute when she was killing the girl again.
Oh,
the girl that she thought was dead the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And he like looked. So I felt like he knew something. He knew that noise, or just from hearing the noise or whatever. But him being the double doppelganger, that would be crazy.
So it's just
sort it of, would make sense because how she was talking, like a baby born in a fire and all that stuff. It would make sense that she was telling her that you then, had the baby that got burnt and you switched it out or something.
And that's what set her. But that was like the part of the theory was she, that's why she never came before the baby was born. Like, because she had another baby before that and they never attacked because like she's the one that led the charge. Right. Mm-hmm. So at any point they were listening to her since she was a child, mm-hmm. you know, cause she could talk. Mm-hmm. So, at any point, she could have led that charge to go after them.
Oh shit!
So the theory that I had heard, and again, it was a fan theory, that it was when the baby was switched out, and that was the baby. Like, because she didn't want the remember she tells the story she didn't want the daughter, and then she talks about the baby boy, and wanting the baby boy. It was that's what sent her off to this whole plan.
Okay. Wow.
You know.
And I, as far as fan stuff goes fan like that, like fan theories, I do enjoy that one.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me sometimes too. I'm like, those are fun, you know, retcon it a little bit. You know, I think we can all do that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No. The acting. Can we talk about the freaking acting?
Well, Lupita Nyong'o, first of all, just all the awards for her.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, let's start with her. Amazing. I mean, just the scenes where, like, because she had the creepiest character. I'd say her.
Oh, I don't know. That
the daughter, the doppelganger daughter. Yeah, the tethered daughter.
My gosh. And she would smile and just start running. Yeah. Oh.
See, that didn't really.
See, I'll give credit to the dad. I like the dad. His
dad, he act like a like
I love
yeah I see that in another movie. What was a movie where they did that? They just dropped their jaw and they just made a loud sound like that. It was like a whole bunch. It was like a whole village. They're like,
what you're talking about. I can't remember the name of the movie though.
It reminded me of that. I was like, the fuck. And he was acting like a caveman too. Like he was dumb. He's like, just like I don't, like Herman Munster just fucking walking around.
Dude, it's oh my god!
But it's still, but the movie is great. But I liked how she had signals, like she knew how she was like put her hand up, like the son. She was like, and the kid was like, woof, takes off. The daughter's just like, okay, boom, and they all just scattered and shit. I was like, the fuck? It's like a military raid here. What the hell's going on?
You know what?
That's the one confusing part about this. The doppelganger thing is supposed to be a government thing.
Yeah.
So why didn't the government on the news know what's going on? Like,
so it's kind of implied, like with those tunnels, that you know it was a lost project. So it's something they stopped doing, but it just continued naturally.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's what it seemed like to me, especially with the rabbits and them being down there and them talking about the tunnels being X old. You know, I think it's
and it's never really supposed to be fully explained.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I mean, it's the government. When do they ever tell you like the 100% truth?
They sure do on my fucking taxes. God damn.
They're like, we don't know how that happened. We don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
It's a, like this from beginning to end, though. Like this movie keeps you going. And the imagery throughout is terrifying.
Yeah. It's beautiful. I want to visit that set that they used for the mirror maze.
Yeah,
that whole scene and going down this escalator and shit. I'm like, that just looks beautiful to me. I could live in there.
No, that scene it was nice. Like when you go down the escalator, then it's the hallway. It looks like there's like you're in a mall. You know those where you can sit at. Like it's like a row of them, but there's gas between them. But then there's rooms. You're like, what the fuck is this place? You're like, you know, it's like a laboratory or like, you know,
fuck all that, James. That's a great content creation center right there. Right,
there you go.
All them rooms. There has to be enough bathrooms.
Rent out the spaces. Yeah. There. Studios. Make a whole bunch of studios.
Shit. Make a bunch of content down there.
But no, that was good.
You know how much, but just think about that though. Just think about just that area there. You could even add the mirror shit if you want to. But from there to going downstairs, there's so much you could do with that. Horror stuff, horror related stuff, easily. I mean, well, Jordan Peele did an amazing job at it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, like the Saw, like Saw shit.
Yeah. Paranormal type. Mm-hmm. Anything. Oh my God, man. I want to
Paul. So this is your first watches then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
First time watching this, yep.
Man, I love it then. All right, so.
It was shocked. I was really surprised. I was like, wow, this is fucking awesome.
So then let's just go. I want to focus on you guys for a second then. Let's turn it on you. Since it's your first time watches, what are some of the big things that stood out to you in this movie, interaction-wise or whatever? Like, because a lot of this stuff, like for me, like, I love it. Like I love all the interactions in this. I think they're fantastic. I love the imagery. I love the death scenes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think they're really well done. So
I love the one-on-one when the tethered was talking to the other one. I like when how they zoom up to him like really close and her and that raspy like how she talks really slow and that scene right there, you're like, okay, it's like going slow, but because she can't talk, so she's getting the words out. But it's also the tone at the same time. It's like gives it like creepiness and shit. You're like,
yeah.
You're like, this interaction is cool. Now the with the father, they try to put like made him like a little goofy. You know, that his interactions with shit was like, oh, come on, come here. You know, like little silly type like shit.
Fun.
Yeah, but then, like, what Mick said, the fucking kids. Yo, even the tether twins were creepy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much as the main character girl, the little girl doppelganger. That was the worst one. She was the creepiest.
So creepy, man.
Even when they launched her off the car and she was, like, bent in half in the tree. She's sitting there reaching out, going, laughing, trying to grab. I was like, God damn.
I know, right?
You're not even crying, feel pain or nothing. You're just sitting there like, trying to grab. I was like, wow.
That scene right there, James, that scene right there was another one that kind of was just like, even though you kind of knew then, but it kind of confirmed it even more. Because had that been the regular mother, right, she would have tore that girl up. She just kind of just, she would have finished her off basically, but she just kind of just let her sit in the tree and die. And then when the sun was talking backwards in the fire, she was upset about that. When she went to go get the car keys, she killed that one girl. She had no problem doing that.
Yeah, no problem at all.
And then that's when when that voice came out. So there was scenes like that I really enjoyed. And the way they used the music in this movie was
fun. The music in the background. Yeah.
Every song they used in this movie was used at the right time in the right scene. Just the right everything. The right set. Everything was like fucking perfect. I don't know what the fuck you did, Jordan, but thank you. Because it was just one of those things where it was just like, holy shit. Like, yes, they did I Got Five on it. They did the, what was the song they played? Fuck.
Oh, in the beginning, the old school one?
No, towards the end.
Oh, the end.
The Twins House.
Oh, it was, fuck.
Before Fuck the Police.
Hold on. The Beach Boys.
Yes. Good Vibrations.
Yes.
There you go. Just that scene alone, the violence in that scene with that song was so cool.
Yeah.
It worked in such a weird way.
I did chuckle though when they said when she was like she's bleeding out her throat. She's like, whatever. Alyssa called the police instead of Alexa. You know.
Yeah,
but then I was like, fuck the police. I was like, oh, yes. Shit.
I laughed at that. I did laugh at that part. But the scene, right before it, though, when the other song is playing and all this stuff is going on, usually when music like that is playing and crazy stuff's going on, I'm laughing. But the way he did it in this, it wasn't funny at all. Like, it wasn't, you know, there was nothing to laugh at. Yeah. Until the fuck the police part. He was like, all right. He was like, it seems like he's just like, All right, I creeped you guys out enough. I seriously you guys out enough. Now I'm gonna give you a quick laugh. Let me ease the tension some, and then I'm gonna bring it right fucking back. And he did
right back.
The whole fucking movie, he did it so fucking well. Like, we need more of this shit. Listen, directors, filmmakers, all that shit. I'm not saying do what he did, but definitely try your best and try to be different.
You know, definitely try your
best. I think
caliber. Right.
Be different.
I think he is 100% hardcore horror fan. That's why it's so good. He's taking elements all over the place. It's not like one director goes, "Oh, I like horror," but they only like noir horror or something.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So
not
you're saying
everything. I think Jordan Peele loves all of it. Mm-hmm. All of it. And he just absorbs it all. He goes, "Oh, I like what they did in this. Oh, I like how they do this." And he's just mixing it into a big pot. And he's making his own shit. He's like, "I know what the fans want. I know how to scare people. I know how to make shit intense. Mm-hmm. How to fuck with your brain. I could do a twist that you didn't know it's coming." He just did everything right. I think he's underrated. I don't know why people, like you said in the beginning, people hate on him. I think he's doing a really good job at his movies. All the movies that are coming out.
Agreed. So, amazing job.
Did we rate? Did you guys rate this when I was gone, by the way?
No, I was actually going
to. No, nothing. Yeah.
But
I thought I missed out. I was about to say, I got to make sure I get my rating.
Let's dive into that right now. Now that you mentioned that, Jameson. Boom.
All right. It's a rare one. 9.
Ooh.
It broke my 8. It went above the 8.
Hey, man. It deserves it.
It's totally a 9 out of 10 for me as well.
9, you said, Paul?
Yes, sir.
I knew yours would be high. You're so fucking excited for this movie for like 3 weeks.
It's a 9 for me. And it's on my top 100 essential horror movies to watch list.
Yes. Awesome.
Go check out that countdown, people. Over on the Scene Snubs. Go check it out. I'm giving this shit a 10. This was an excellent fucking phenomenal movie. This was just so good. It gave you damn near everything you wanted out of a horror movie. I mean, you could say everything you wanted. You got some fear. It brought you through. It gave you everything you would want from a movie. I'll say that. You were entertained, of course. It brought you through all the emotions, and then you just add horror into that element.
You can even say you feel sorry movie. For the tethered. You can feel sorry for them.
Mm-hmm. You can.
Yeah.
Because they are down there like
miserable.
Miserable. Like, we're underground people and we can feel what you guys are doing. That's why some are playing chess and stuff and they're copying. Because it's like they feel they're doing everything they're doing. So it's that's why I didn't understand. Why did that work for everybody? It worked for the kid. That's how he got the other one to walk backwards in the fire. He was like, oh, they do what you do. And he's like,
because everybody didn't click onto it. You got to remember that. Everybody didn't click onto it.
A lot of them were fighting. And if you're fighting them and they have no inhibition and they know exactly what you're going to do, and you do have inhibition and insecurity, and you know, because like you've been living a life and experiencing, they're probably going to get the best of you.
Hmm.
Not me though, because I'm Batman.
No. So that little boy was the smartest one. He's like, "Don't worry, I'll take care of my guy." Just stands up. He's like, "La la la," walks backwards.
You gotta remember though. Earlier when they were in the closet, and he was kind of copying him in the closet. Remember when he lifted his mask up?
Yeah.
And then he pulled his mask down when the kid, you know, and just little things like that. Like, that's the thing I love about this movie, and the thing I love about movies when they do this is little shit like that. They show it, the closet thing. Or another thing about the closet, when the original kid got stuck in the closet. Earlier in the movie,
the little trick with the toy car.
When they're all splitting up, or whatever, and his mother tells him, "Do your trick, show him your magic trick." So he goes in the closet, puts the little, was it an ambulance or was it a mail truck?
It's like a little toy truck,
puts it in the door, so that the door doesn't, you know, of course, so it doesn't lock him in there, and after he does whatever he does in there, you know, they're talking whatever, whatever. He gets out, takes the little thing, and closes the door. And of course, he remembers that the kid's going to copy him. So when he does this whole thing and walks backwards, he knew that he was going to do the exact same thing, and he had him walk into the fire. And again, just small things like that. It's so fucking awesome they do that, and it's so freaking important because it's it doesn't feel he didn't waste any scenes in this movie at all. Mm-hmm. There was no wasted scenes, and that's fucking important, especially for when a movie's 2 hours. That's important. You don't want to have wasted scenes. You don't want to have boring scenes. There was no wasted scenes. There was no boring scenes.
If you think back of it, when you find out that she's really the tethered, mm-hmm. even the scenes in the beginning make sense. When they're on the beach, why she didn't talk to the other one, she goes, oh, I don't really talk to people. Because she's like shut down. She's like not social. She's not out there like a normal person.
Yeah. And they even like kind of mentioned that, like something happened to me when I was younger.
Yeah.
And, but they actually give it away that she's the one in the very first scene. Like, not in the very first scene, in her very first scene. Lupita Nyong'o, when she traps the spider. Because she traps the spider. Remember, she puts the cup on the spider?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's the one. She trapped the girl.
It's like a
foreshadowing of like she's somebody who would trap. Like she didn't kill the spider, but she trapped the spider.
Wow. Okay. And see, and again, shit like that, I would have never even thought of, and stuff like that you don't think of. Then you're just like, oh my god,
I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why the boy is afraid of the closet.
Oh shit. Because he'll feel trapped like he was.
Yeah.
Damn. But, see, okay, so, but the thing with the boy, though, is... Now, you're talking about the tether, or are you talking about both? Because they're both afraid of it, it seemed.
Yes. So, now let's think about it, all right?
But, well, because here's... I think we're going on the same page. I think we are. If they were swapped at birth, though, how would he remember? Or, no, they... Oh, no, because she said there was an accident. Yeah, they said they were swapped. There was an accident. There was
a fire after.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
Yeah. And I will say, after rewatching this for this is probably the 90th time for me, I feel like I caught her when they're heading to the lake in the car together. It sounded like her voice was changing back. Like she had a lisp almost, like she learning how to talk like.
She's getting closer and closer to the beach, like it was coming out.
Like her and her child was coming back out, like, oh, I can't talk normal. So like that opening scene, she says a couple lines where she sounds a little like just a little bit where I was like,
Okay.
Like, yeah, I mean that's gotta be there's gotta be a lot of fear there always of what's down there, you know.
Right. So I mean, like, close to where it changed in the first place.
Yeah. So
even I'll say on the way to the beach, remember when the accident, they see the ambulance in front of them, which I wonder if the ambulance, so that little truck was probably an ambulance truck. Is that foreshadowing the ambulance there? And then the ambulance that saves them at the end when they're driving away at the end. Jordan Peele, you're that's a fucking problem. Genius.
It might be the same ambulance. I don't know.
No, not the same one, but I'm just saying I'm the one that held the closet door open, which helped the little boy.
Oh,
get out of there. And then you see an ambulance later in the movie. You see the one with the guy, you know, when his chest is all bloody or whatever. And he's
yeah, he got stabbed like three times.
He had that same sign.
It was probably from scissors.
He had the same sign, the 11-11 shit.
Yep.
From when she was a little girl. Mm-hmm. And from when the boy seen them, you know. Mm-hmm. When the boy sees the guy holding his arms out bleeding. Remember when he draws that picture and his mother asks about that?
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, I don't know. Yeah. Shit, man. There's so much.
Yeah,
this movie is just. I gotta watch this again. I gotta watch this a couple more times. I already know it. I know I missed something. I know there's something there that's in plain sight that I didn't see. And that's another thing I like about movies like this is it's like, it's almost like it's a must for a rewatch just because there's so much in this movie.
Oh yeah, all of them. All of Jordan Peele's movies. You have to go back and rewatch them to find stuff.
Jeez.
I like that.
I mean, Get Out alone, like, you have to watch it like three or four times just to get and then look up lists, you know, yeah. just to get everything he threw in there. And Nope is like no shortage either.
No. Shit, man.
You don't realize how quickly it's an alien movie until you really rewatch it. Then you're like, oh shit, you actually see it this early. And
yeah, yep.
That's true.
I can't wait to watch. I can't wait to watch that, but I know when I'm going to start it. Don't worry. But because there is no wheel tonight, or I mean, yeah, there's no wheel tonight. We're going to start spinning that next Thursday, and that's only because I feel like we have to kick off. It's going to be a CFF wheel, Carolina Fear Fest, which I'll pop some shit up about that in a minute. But we're going to kick it off with April Fool's Day on the 4th. Yeah, I know it's a Monday, the 1st, and all that other stuff, but I don't do no.
And this is the original, I hope.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, thank God.
It has Jesus. To be the original. There's no way in hell
I'm doing that remake, man.
That was bad.
Fair.
But yeah, we're kicking off with that movie right there, and I can't wait.
Sweet.
April Fool's
Day. Have you ever seen that, Paul?
Mm-mm.
Oh,
oh yeah. No, nice.
Nobody, do not talk to anybody about that movie. Do not look that movie up. Do not. Okay. I'm serious. Don't look at anything. Just watch it.
Okay. I went in blind too, and it's worth the trust me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Trust you guys.
And I hope you're here next Thursday to review it with us.
Okay.
And for you out there, I hope you are going to come to Carolina Fear Fest. Link is in the description and come hang out. I'm going to be there. Mick's going to be there.
I will be there.
She's going to be there.
she's gonna be there.
So, that means you guys should be there too. It's gonna be a great time. It's gonna be a film fest. There's gonna be all kinds of shit, panels, vendors, awesome, amazing dope vendors, as a matter of fact, and just a bunch of cool ass people like us. So bring your asses there.
Get some autographs, buy
exactly
some merch.
Exactly.
I'm all in.
Yes. I'll be there.
I got to check out one of them this one of these years.
You do. Next.
I never been to a con.
Ever?
We got to change that. Yeah, we got to change that.
Because I'm lazy. I don't like walking. I don't like walking around.
I told Mary, listen, I'm still kicking next year. I'm still rolling through.
Jesus.
And they let me. We should renew our vows at CFF 2025.
Wow. Ooh, that'd be cool. There you go.
That would be cool. They'll let you. You hear that, people? You can go to CFF in 2025 and you get to see him renew his vows.
Hell yeah.
So, if they let me.
On a serious note, though,
he might play one of his movies that he was in during reception.
No,
that'd be beautiful.
Subscribers on that one.
That would be beautiful, and we already have the wedding song picked out, Mick. Don't worry.
Oh God.
But no, serious. On a serious note, though, guys. So this is for my brother Henry. He has a coworker that lost his wife. I don't know when she passed, but they have two autistic twin sons, and of course they need help. So if you can donate, please help. If you cannot donate, either way, if you can at least share the link out there. And again, link is in the description. I'm going to drop both of these links in the comments as well. But yeah, it's, you know, if you could help, we got to help each other out, right?
Yeah. Share it in our group chat too, please.
We'll do. But yeah, back to us.
This is us.
I'm
the fat sister.
Wait, what?
You're the black brother. You're the white brother. You're the white brother. You're the cracker brother.
Can I be the boat?
No, you're the stepdad.
Can I be the boat?
You're the Guatemalan stepdad.
Okay. Guatemalan stepdad.
I can't be the slick hair white dude.
Yeah, you're that guy.
Okay, cool.
Where's Mandy Moore? We need to get her in here.
Yeah, you're that guy. Holy shit. Yo, I know I told you guys in the group chat. But Was that you again? Look over there.
I pushed something on my my desk, so it made like a dragon sound.
He's touching himself under his
Mick. Mick thought he was fucking losing his mind.
You should have just let him think that. I would have.
I was going to. But Paul fucking heard it too. He was like, it wasn't me. So, but if it just if Mick was just losing his mind and everybody just staring at him, I would have let it go.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
That's so funny.
What was that? What was what?
That was my favorite.
That was
a but what I was going to say is, because I was saying this in the group chat a lot, but Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2 was fucking awesome.
So many movies I got to watch.
So impressed by, like, because Mick, he was somebody who we've had these conversations, had him on the lives, had him behind the scenes. But basically, with these movies that are coming out with filmmakers that are just jumping on him, he's like, he just wants them to be good movies and not just doing it just because you can do it. This one right here, they redeemed themselves from the first one, and you can kind of you see why they did the first one the way they did the first. Obviously, budget and all that other stuff, but they got a budget with this one, and they got a story with this one. I'm not going to spoil it here, but that shit was fucking awesome. That shit was fucking awesome, and I can't wait to see. I want to see that again ASAP. I want to see that shit again. I'm pissed off that it's a fucking limited release. Winnie the Pooh 3 better be in theaters like the real way, the right way, because they deserve it.
Oh yeah, I seen that earlier. It's
all this Hollywood shit. Part 3. This is what I want to say too: is all this Hollywood shit, like your guys' subpar movies. I think you need to like work your way back up to theater level. Maybe just start putting your shit out just on streaming. Because now you're just throwing shit out there just because you know fans will go and watch it. But it's after watching that yesterday. And I'm not saying it's the greatest movie in the world because it's not that, but just the improvement from 1 to 2, and then you watch like these big name movies with this huge budget, and they say they go from 1 to 2, and I'm like, how do you fucking decline that much? You had a bigger budget with this one, but these guys, they had I'm just throwing this out there, of course, $100 to make this first movie and $1,000 to make this second movie, and it looks like they had your budget to make this second movie, and you had their budget to make this second movie. What the fuck? Cut the bullshit. Give us good shit, mm-hmm. or shit like this. You know, but Jordan Peele puts passion into this because this is dope. This movie was so fucking good. Oh my God, I can't get over how good this movie was.
I mean, listen, we can't. I'm not putting all blames on the studios either, because listen, filmmakers that can do what Jordan Peele can do in putting this much detail and planning into it are few and far between as well. And I realize that there's a lot of opportunity afforded to do it, and that, you know, Jordan Peele worked his way up, you know, and to be able to do that. So like, great. And you know, I'm glad he was, because it's awesome. But, and to the filmmaker's point, they're not getting the chance to do that because they're being thrown in. Like, they might make like a really good movie. Mm-hmm. And then get thrown into a big blockbuster. I think that happened with what was her name? Zoe Chow, who directed Nomad and then was thrown into Eternals.
Oh, damn.
Which was like, what are you doing? Like, it just doesn't mesh. There's plenty of other examples they're like, these award-winning filmmakers or these filmmakers that make deep personal movies that are fantastic character pieces. And it's like, oh, they won an award. Boom, here we go. We're going to get them this. They just did that with the director of Godzilla Minus One. They just signed him over at CAA. They're going to throw him on something, and it's going to fuck it up. I know it.
Damn.
You know, and it's because they're going to throw him on something because he got an award, and he deserves to be on something, but they're not going to throw him on the thing that...
His strengths.
For him, his strength. They're going to throw him on whatever... they want a cash grab on at the moment.
That's stupid.
Uh-huh. That's what really,
it's ass backwards. Cause it's like, why wouldn't you would think it's like, okay. I have this great director now that's signed with us. These are his strengths. I know his strengths 1,000,000,000%. I should put him with his strengths. So I know we want this money and these cash grabs, but if I put him with his strengths, how are we not going to get this fucking money? How's money not going to just keep pouring in if this guy's doing his strengths? And then on top of that, he could do what he did with minus one with just this much money? What? But no, we're going to put him over here on this movie with this big-ass budget that is a cash grab that we know the movie sucks, and we know this isn't his strengths at all. We're just kind of putting his name on it to sell some more tickets.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying he's not going to touch it. I don't know anything about filmmaking. I'm just saying that doesn't make any fucking sense. That's setting yourself up. Whatever, that's setting not only the director, that's setting a lot of people up for failure. Like, I feel if it's a team, organization, whatever, you put people at their strengths where they work best, where they can thrive, because then everybody thrives.
Well, I mean, it sucks for the filmmakers, because when the filmmakers get bumped and they have this thing that, like the Eternals, like let's keep using that example, like, mm-hmm. like the Eternals, which bombs because it's not the right fit. It just doesn't work. It's a Marvel movie. We don't want the character study. We don't. I'm sorry. We just, it's not what we want. Like, I didn't go see Godzilla and Kong because I want a character study. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, yeah, I want the mindless fun.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's, it's just do not put the director of Godzilla Minus One on the next legendary Godzilla or the MonsterVerse movies, because that's mm-hmm. not the right fit. You mm-hmm. know, it's to me, it's like, I don't know. It's just, it's, I mean, it may be, I don't want to say it's not the right fit, like that's not fair either, because anything can happen. What I'm saying is, historically, we've seen a lot of it get tanked, and then these directors go back and then they make amazing things. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of times because they are still really talented filmmakers, but it's going to be harder for them.
Yeah.
Because this representation is going to be like, well, we're not going to make anything on your indie stuff. So, and that's what's fucked up about it.
And their IMBD, they should have, for movies that they get thrown into, it should have their name on it, but it should have like a next to it. No, it should say studio. So, you know, it's a studio movie that they threw them into it. But yeah, if it's their own movie, it's just their name. So if it's good, you're like, oh, that's his movie. But then the shitty one is a studio. You're like, that's why that's crap.
Yeah.
Because they just throw him in there.
Put their hands all over it. Put his name.
Yeah, they put their hands all over that shit. Yeah.
It's just so weird how that is. That doesn't make sense.
Nah, it's money. It's all about the money, man. They want the money.
I know, but it almost sounds like you're trying to put a VHS into a Blu-ray player. I'm like, why would you do that when you have a Blu-ray player right there and that's going to work perfect?
Well, it's just the same thing with the actors. Whoever's the hot shit at this time. Well, you got to know that there, it'll fit the part better. But no, they want the big name, and they'll put the big name in there just to sell the tickets. Yeah. Then they find out their movie bombed. Why? Because the acting sucked. Because that person did not convince me for that character at all. You know, so
fair,
very.
That's why I mean, I'll give it to this. Like, there's a lot of actors who are very specific about their brand. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what am I gonna pick? What am I gonna be in? And I, you know, it works in some ways. Like, The Rock knows what his range is.
Yeah,
yeah,
he does. John Cena, I think, knows what his range is. You know, and I don't think J-Lo knows what her range is.
No,
that's a whole different thing going on right now.
No, her ego. She goes, I could beat fucking best actors, and you're like, what the fuck are you doing? Dude, don't go into those so movies. Funny. Stick to your fucking. Stupid. Oh my God. Mean, she was okay in Cell. So, actually, to take that back, the good thing about Cell was the art, the fucking cinematography.
Cinematography was,
yeah, that shit.
She wasn't fucking bad in that movie though.
I like the dude from Private Pile. I forget that actor's name. I'm so bad with names.
I'm Vincent D'Onofrio.
That sounds like it could be a porn.
Private Pile. Yes, it does. you could probably had to be a title for a porn movie. Private Pile.
That's funny.
Pile, not private.
My fault. That's part two.
Private Pile. Oh man. That's fucking funny, Paul. Thank you for that.
But another one, they got Adam Sandler.
Jesus.
He knows his range too.
Yeah, he has a pretty good range.
Well,
Adam Sandler will venture out, and I'm glad when he does, because when he does venture out, he does a really good fucking job.
Yeah. There's like a few movies he ventures out into like more serious roles.
But when he knows he needs to, like, his like kids want like a new car or something, like, he knows what to make.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, okay, Grown-ups 3.
Grown-ups 3. Halloween or whatever the hell. Halloween Part 2 or whatever.
Whoopi Halloween.
Whoopi Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Love that shit. I was impressed by Uncut Gems.
Oh, they're making Happy Gilmore too.
Yeah, I'm excited. Okay, we're not
excited. I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna watch it.
I'll watch it.
No, I still watch this movie. I used to be a huge Adam Sandler fan.
Just over.
Like I used to have his CD with his music when he used to sing on stage, like Piece of Shit Car and all that stuff. Yeah. I watched his stand up Saturday Night Live. I was a big fan.
Yeah, I used to like his movies back in the day. I mean, some
how old I was. When I first seen Happy Gilmore, I was laughing so hard I fell off the couch.
Hell yeah.
I did.
I thought it was the funniest movie shit. Was Airheads, I think, is the first one I saw with him in it.
No, I think minus Happy Gilmore, then it was Billy Madison. Then I seen Airheads too. Then Little Nicky came out, Waterboy. All those fucking shit. I watched like almost everything.
Hey, back in the day, man, they really hit you, right?
Little Nicky, they're coming out with Little Nicky too, part two. Also,
are you serious?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he has a son. I don't know what the fucking movie's about, but
God, like, why do we have to revisit fucking? And that's the same shit as the fucking.
I know. That's what bothers me. Especially when a movie came out like 20 years ago, they're like, you know what? Let's make a part two. You're like, what? Seriously? Probably the main actor is like using a walker, and you're gonna fucking make a part two? Like, what the fuck's going on? 65 years later. Fucking stupid.
I'm getting too old for this shit. Hold on, getting too old. You were old, too old 40 movies ago.
I think I'll try to pitch Tom Arnold at Carolina Fear Fest that he should do The Stupids, the sequel. He's still alive. Let's go ahead and do it.
Oh, Tom Arnold's going to be there?
Yeah.
You should piss him off. Bring up Roseanne.
No. The Stupids.
Like, you still talk to Roseanne? She lost her mind lately, huh?
You miss her?
Don't do that. Please don't. All right,
the stupid.
But
ladies and gentlemen, ladies, people, and dolphins, we're gonna wrap this one up. All of our links are in the description. Make sure you guys go check out the Scene Snobs. That's a really, really, really cool channel over there on YouTube and Facebook and the Discord and all that other cool shit. And check out Popcorn and Pints. We got some pretty cool people over there as well. Horror Research 30, Sturdo Vision. Tomorrow we're reviewing that Helen Keller movie. Oh, I can't wait.
I can't believe you found that. I cannot believe you found that.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that movie before. But and we're doing a watch party. I'm doing a watch party tomorrow night at 10 o'clock over on the Scene Snobs Discord, the Helen Keller movie, actually.
Cannot wait.
I'm going to start doing these watch parties every, when I can. If anything's extra crazy, extra extreme horror, that's going to be over on this 30. You got to come over to Horror Search 30 for that shit. I'm not doing that to the Scene Snobs. But for the.
That is not crazy. We're all in. Absurdity.
No. You know what I mean? I mean, the extreme horror is what I mean. That wild shit. I will play that over there. But the fun stuff, all that other stuff, boom, right over on Horror Search 30, or right over on the Scene Snobs. So be over there at 10 o'clock Eastern time and tune in while we watch the Helen Keller movie and then review it at midnight. It's going to be a grand old time, people. We're going to get out of here. I'll see you in your nightmares. Peace. And
peace.
That's it.